And I'm talking now about cosplay or costume play, which is a performance art where people dress up like particular characters. If you've ever seen Captain America walking around or Ash Ketchum stopping by with Pikachu, then you've seen cosplay. You might even have done it yourself. Though cosplay started in Japan, it's spread to every corner of the world and is now common in America, Europe, and even Australia. Sharon Elkind is conducting postdoctoral research into cosplay and joins me in the studio now to tell me about this wonderful world. Thank you for joining me, Sharon.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And Sharon, just how common is cosplay?
It's getting really common. We've seen a pretty big increase all over the world in people cosplaying in the last 20 years or so.
And why do you think it's gotten, why do you think it's taken off so much?
Well, I've asked people why they cosplay, and the universal answer has been because it's fun. But I think there's some deeper answers to that question as well that I've been probing recently that have to do with the ability to play with gender in a way that you can't do in regular everyday society.
Well, on that point, I mean, I know that gender and cosplay is one of the major focuses of your research. So how does gender signify in all of this?
Well, when looking at cosplay, and I work specifically with Japanese pop culture-based cosplay because there's so many different genres that use costume play that it became overwhelming, actually, to look at too many of them. But especially when looking outside of Japan, we've got a cross-cultural aspect going on, so there's some pop cosmopolitanism going on, where people are learning about different cultures and they're using cosplay as a way to experience life as a character from a different culture. So then they're also using it in some cases to experience life as a different sex or sexuality or gender or even an age group.
Right. So it's used as a way to sort of inhabit a different world, and it's like a safe space for that.
Yeah. And they go to great lengths to make sure that it's a safe space.
So on that point of being a safe space, what do you mean by that?
Cosplay has borrowed quite a bit from the science fiction convention culture over the years, and there's a huge amount of people who go into trying to make sure that these spaces remain physically and emotionally safe. It's part of the reason that a lot of these events you have to buy a ticket to is so that you can control who enters and who leaves these events. They also work with staff in regional areas so that, you know, if a costumer goes into a bank or a restaurant or go shopping in their costume, that people aren't freaked out by this in general population. And they work with people in the event halls as well, because a lot of these places host lots of events throughout the year, and they might not be used to actually having people walking around in these crazy costumes.
Yeah. I mean, cosplay also, I mean, it does have a bit of a social stigma attached to it in some people's eyes, especially with some people considering it to be creepy or just really weird. Well, where do you think this stigma comes from?
I think part of it is just because there's this social thing that happens whenever something new in pop culture comes out where people are just afraid of it, or they think it's going to erode public morals. Also, there's a little bit of misconception coming through from other cultural means. I know a lot of my respondents had issues with television shows that portrayed cosplayers as being kind of the weebelow stereotype, where they, you know, they live in their mother's basements and they're still 30 and they don't have a life.
Looking
or a
at
job.
Pictures of Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Right. So it sort of has this negative social stereotype because it's still relatively new, isn't it?
It's fairly new. It's newer in Australia, it seems, than it is in some other parts of the world. It's been pretty big across parts of Europe and in North America for a long time. And in North America also, there's that related connection to science fiction culture. There have been science fiction costumers since the early 1900s on record in newspapers and magazines. So they've had a little bit longer to get used to it, I think.
Is it kind of a population thing, too?
It might.
Because we don't have as many people, or... Because we're closer to Japan than America.
This is true. And you have a lot of... We found a lot of people who came in from Southeast and East Asia, actually, to attend conventions here in Australia. We had a lot of people from Singapore and Vietnam, South Korea, Thailand were coming here, actually, to go to Smash, which was really interesting. So Australia's becoming a hub, I think, for some of this.
So it's developing a lot, then. Is it changing?
I'm finding as the conventions get bigger, I think Smash's move to the racetrack actually expanded what they could do by a huge amount. the difference between the Darling Harbor location and then a couple years later, the racetrack was massive.
And actually talking about your research, how are you actually conducting this research? What are you actually doing?
Okay. So I've conducted 127 questionnaires in Australia and in the U.S., and we had it up online for a while, so we got some international participants as well. And then I did 40 interviews, 20 here in Australia and 20 in the U.S. during 2014 and 2015. And we did them at these big events, and we basically randomly sampled people in costumes. We just walked up to them cold and said, hey, I'm from the University of Sydney. Would you like to do an interview with us? And everyone said yes. It was fantastic.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking to Sharon Elkind about cosplay. And you said people just said yes. So do you think that the cosplay community is generally very open and friendly?
They usually are. And they always encourage people to try it for themselves before they pass judgment. The thing that I found is that they're less likely to talk to press than they are to academics. They were really happy to see an academic in their midst trying to find out more about them. But I noticed a lot of older cosplayers were steering away from members of the press because they've had some negative press over the years that have portrayed them in a way that they don't like.
Well, I know this is one big issue that's had a lot of negative press is cosplay is not consent, which there's concerns that the scene attracts predatory individuals. Why is this such an issue? Where does this come from?
There have been a number of issues internationally where there have been sexual assaults committed against cosplayers. And it's important to mention also it's not just female cosplayers, but male cosplayers and intersex cosplayers and gender-neutral cosplayers have had the same issue. It's become a problem partially because there's a sense online that cosplay has a sexual component to it, which, at least for older cosplayers from my generation and before that, was really absent. It was kind of an innocent activity where you got to experiment, and it was more about learning and self-identity. But recently we've had a lot of, especially people posting pictures online, they get then commented on, and then that turns into something that snowballs out of control.
So you think the internet's had a really big part in like making this? Because obviously, cosplay was there before the internet, probably.
Yeah.
So has the internet changed kind of how we perceive it?
I think so. Something that I've started to notice, and this is a beginning trend in the research, so I haven't fully explored it yet, is that there are multiple generations of cosplayers, and they tend to react to this differently. So what we're noticing is kind of the millennial generation who's really internet savvy and they use a lot of social media. For them, cosplay is very different than it is for the people who remember life before the internet and cosplay before the internet.
Who remember life before the internet.
Yeah, I know that sounds so cliche.
No, it's great.
But, you know, before that, the only way to get your picture circulated would be either to, you know, print out a Polaroid and give it to your friends or to submit it to a fanzine and hope it got published, which was rare. Or produce your own fanzine, which some people did.
But actually, on the role of the internet, do you think the internet has made cosplay like the community way better and like in terms of sharing and ideas and collaboration?
It's definitely opened up huge avenues for new techniques and learning about new materials. And people share their wig making stuff, their costume making things. I've learned so much about armor and weapon making in the last 6 months just looking at all the YouTube videos people have posted. And at the same time, almost all the Australian cosplayers we talked to said that they found out about cosplay through the internet. It wasn't via friends or family or by going to an event and seeing it. It was they saw it online and they said, oh, we have to try this. So it's definitely helping spread cosplay even further than it already has been as well.
And there's also some people who are pretty involved in their costume making. People like actually like weld their armor and stuff together.
Yes.
It's always very impressive, the amount of effort that goes into it.
We've met people who have done all kinds of stuff from warbla to welding to
leathercraft. What's the most elaborate cosplay you've seen, or what's the craziest thing you've seen someone do to get a good costume?
I think that probably the craziest one, I don't remember exactly how many people, but it was between 12 and 18 people did Haku from Spirited Away, and they did it as one of the giant Chinese dragon parade New Year's things. And getting them all up on stage, and they did this huge choreographed dance with this dragon puppet that moved and it breathed fire and did all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't know how they did it.
That's dedication. That's amazing.
It was amazing. But I've seen some pretty crazy. I've seen transforming costumes that, you know, like for the Transformers that go from a car to a giant robot.
Yeah, that's really cool. All right, well, thank you so much for joining me this morning to speak about it,
thank
Sharon.
Thank you for having me.
And this is I've just been speaking to Sharon Elkind, who's doing postdoctoral research on cosplay and all the sorts of interesting stuff that goes on in that.